Welcome to the PMI podcast, Frontiers of Project Management. I'm your host, Neil Sanderson. I've been a project manager for over 25 years. I've taught hundreds of courses and coached thousands of project managers. And every year, I repeatedly realize that I have so much to learn yet about project management. We're excited to bring you a series about what's new in project management. New perspectives, new technology, new methods, and the leadership intersection between project management and important business and social trends. We're going to bring you interesting guests, engaging topics, and some provocative takes to make you think twice about what's important about project management. Today, we're going to baseline where we are right now with project management, especially in Southern Alberta. And as is common to do in January, look ahead with some recommendations on how we need to change our approach as individual project managers. Our guest today is Candida Tocci. Candida is president of the PMI Southern Alberta chapter. She is a project management consultant at the City of Calgary with over 25 years of experience as a senior project manager and a project leader. She holds a Bachelor of Arts from the University of Calgary in Sociology, and she has served on the PMI Southern Alberta Chapter Board of Directors, both as the VP of Volunteer and Administration, where she was instrumental in implementing their volunteer program, as well as in the role of VP of Marketing and Sponsorship. And then she went on to become president. She's now in her second term, her third year as president of PMI Southern Alberta Chapter. And that caps off over 16 years of volunteer experience in so many, such a wide range of capacities and responsibilities at PMI Southern Alberta Chapter. It sounds like she's incredibly busy with project management everywhere. And on top of that, when she has some extra time, she is an occasional instructor at the Applied Project Management Certification course at the Southern Alberta Institute of Technology. Welcome, Candida.
Thank you, Neil. Thank you so much for that wonderful introduction.
So, Candida, as PMs tonight, we want to get your thoughts on three different things. We want to, first of all, talk about what we might need to stop as project managers, given where we are in this world that we're in right now. We need to think about what we want to start, and then also what's tried and true that we still need to continue. And then finally, I'd like to ask you some questions about PMI Southern Alberta Chapter and how they fit into where things are headed to 2022. So to set the stage, here we are in January of 2022. We're coming up on two full years of COVID lockdown and other restrictions. Our main industry is still faced with many growing obstacles. People are tired and stressed. PMI is changing its approach. We've got a new style of PMBOK. Many of us are running fast-paced teams from home now. It's just such a different world than it was just 2 years ago. Candida, considering your experience and some of the stories that you've heard from your broad network, what's something that you think that we need to stop in January 2022 as project managers?
Yeah, thank you. That's a very good question. I think that as project managers, we really do have to stop to think that things are going to change even more. We are in this new world. We have now all learned that we can work from home, and companies are starting to really look at that. So we are probably not going to be going back to things the normal or get back to things. I think we will go back, but it's going to be different. And we're definitely looking at more of a hybrid type of environment. So us as project managers have to really think of this new big picture. And, you know, it's really interesting because, I mean, we all were able to work from home before. A lot of companies thought you really had to be in the office to be seen, be heard, and then that's how you were productive. Well, I think if there's anything that COVID's really done is just really showed that we can be productive within this hybrid world. And as you know, there is that part that a lot of us do want to get back into being to that face-to-face. I think us as project managers have to really start working within this new world. So I think it's just really stopping to think, okay, how are we going to move forward and really utilize what we've learned in the past 2 years?
Yeah, really. I think one of the things that I have to stop doing right away here is expecting that things are not going to change, or that they're going to change back to the way that they were before. It's just going to be new no matter what direction it takes. You know, for me, I was thinking that we need to stop being rigid in our approach and always going back to the same methodology. I think there's temptation to do that in the name of efficiency as project managers. We get comfortable with an approach, especially if we stay in the same industry and company. It works for us and we just try and do it better and better. But that can lead us to some rigidity for sure. I mean, there's a lot of methods out there now. There are different methods for PM, for business. There's traditional, there's agile, there's lean, there's business process management. You can go on and on and on. I think if there's anything that's been impressed on me over the last 2 years is that we need to be constantly prepared for change. And sometimes that's even been 1 week, it's one way, and then all of a sudden the next week it's totally different. So the conditions around us are really demanding that we cannot be inflexible. And I'm stealing a quote here from Dr. Diana Bergman in a conference paper on PMI.org there. One size does not fit all. We really have to use that as our guide here as we're heading into 2022. We really need to choose the right methods in each project and sometimes change within the project itself and be prepared to change.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it also resonates in the Pinbox 7 that, you know, when we start to look at, you know, how it's broken up into principles and it's more of that value delivery model, it does talk about this one size does not fit all and how we do have to become more nimble in our projects and more agile. And really, how do we fit change into this new world? So when we do projects come about with change. We're already doing, you know, something that needs to be changed. And how does that change fit in and work within your project? Like, how does your project become resilient to change? How is it sustainable after? And how does your team and your company in general reflect and view change to be? Do they see change as failure, or do they, you know, say, hey, this is the health of the project. We, you know, as projects, we always estimate at the beginning, so we know there's going to be change. We really do have to look at that one size does not fit all. So I'm very happy to hear you bring that up, because I think that is pretty much where we're at today with project management is, how do we help make our projects resilient and sustainable?
That's really interesting. You brought that up about the PMBOK and PMI. And, you know, that was really prescient of them to have changed the guide to being that value-based approach, the standards guide for project management there. And at the time when I first had a look at it, this was in the early days of COVID, I guess, I was very used to the very prescriptive approach of PMBOK 6. And then now this, it's really all based on flexibility and judgment, PMBOK 7.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, although we have still the core of your stakeholders, your teams, and your risk and the quality, the added part is, you know, this tailoring. This tailoring is that part of this one size does not fit all, but also, you know, where the value, focus on the value that we have to deliver. Systems thinking is really huge as well. And just, you know, how do we steward this project? I think that's a really, really good concept on, you know, how do we become diligent? How do we ensure that, you know, the project has its integrity and it's aligned with corporate values, corporate priorities? You're absolutely right to how PMI, you know, saw this foresight of how we had to become more strategic and more aligning with what is going on today or what is in the future for us. I think that strategic foresight was really valuable to them.
Yeah, it's going to help all of us. Looking at where the rubber hits the road on this one, like a practical example, one of your responsibilities, I understand, in the City of Calgary is to roll out different methodologies and tools for project managers and groups. And so one of the things that I always think about when I meet people from the city, project managers from the city, and I talk to them about what they're doing, I'm always really impressed by the scale of those projects and the concerns that you have to deal with there. I mean, everything is so big. Some of these implementations are vast. And that relies on some really effective adherence to some good methodologies, right? So given what we were just talking about, at the city, how do you find room to be flexible in your approach and your PM's approach?
Definitely. As you can imagine, we are in front of like billion-dollar complex projects, and we've heard wonderful ones, especially like the Green Line. And the city really does have their sort of strategic priorities on how they would look at getting in front of these projects. And I'm part of an amazing department. We're called the Corporate Project Management Center. And we really make sure that we are adhering to all the different types of project management that's out there and ensuring that they're the umbrella to how we have to be in front of those projects. So the projects are constantly in where we really have to look at how can they be, you know, when do we use that traditional project management style? A lot of our departments have their own PMO, which now, of course, even project management offices have to be even more a bit nimble. So there really is overall a group that really helps to get in front of these projects and ensure that we are delivering and we're starting them off to be delivered successfully.
So that flexibility, that need for flexibility, can be something that the PMO takes on as well, I would guess, right? That becomes one of their marching orders, is to make sure that project managers and teams can be both efficient through routine execution, but then also build in that flexibility.
Yeah, and the great thing about it is that with the PMOs, and like I said, even the PMOs are changing to become, you know, more flexible, more agile. Then what happens is that now we're coming up with new standards and new policies and new tools that also help us to centralize projects, especially lessons learned. Lessons learned is a huge standard that we really want to make sure it's centralized, people have access to it, so that we understand what's transpired in a project and we can use that as historical data. We all know that we've got tools and resources to ensure that when we're planning that project, we're using experts, right? So the city does really align itself when it comes to projects and project management and ensuring that, you know, a lot of the PMOs that are also becoming more flexible, more agile, are understanding the need to ensure that we incorporate change, that we're managing the change within the projects.
Now, of course, with change, there have to be some new things that we need to start doing. What is a new attitude or technique that you believe that PMs really need to start bringing to the leadership table?
Oh, that's a wonderful question. I, you know, again, with this new world, we have all changed. And that means we've changed personally. We've changed on how we do work, how we think about work. And that means that are your stakeholders. So you know, just like you've changed, you have to realize your stakeholders have too. So I think we have to come more to the table with a lot of empathy and understanding and openness, because everybody is coming with different things that they've had to either deal with or are dealing with. And we're still in the middle of a pandemic. So how do we deliver while we're still in a pandemic? So I think that those interpersonal skills have to become stronger. I love what PMI, they call, it's not soft skills, it's power skills. So we do have to hone in on those. And again, I think we have to come in with more understanding. And, you know, that may also mean that when we have meetings, we have to take maybe a moment, do a little bit of a group and a gel exercise. You know, they used to call them icebreakers, but, you know, saying, hey, you know, how's everybody doing? Or does somebody want to share something, just to kind of get things going so that we understand that the work still has to get done. But how do we do it when we, you know, everybody comes in with just a whole bunch of stuff around them? So that's extremely important. And of course, we do have to pivot in so many different ways, because at the end of the day, the projects still have to be delivered on time and on budget, right? That's our success measure. And I think, Neil, if you heard that, there's another success measure with project management, is that the client is satisfied. So there's those, you know, satisfaction measures as well, because now they're saying you can have a project that's on time and on budget, but is, you know, is the client really happy?
Right. Sometimes we get caught up in the mechanics part of it and we lose sight of it. And especially, like you said here, that it's so dramatic, the effect of all these changes, the impact on all of our stakeholders and our team members, it multiplied all of these concerns and changes. It's exponential, the impact on our team as a unit.
Yes. And I mean, you know, for right now, things are not, you know, we've got different tools to help us with working from home, you know, Teams, Zoom, whatever tool or platform you use. People have had a chance to sort of be a little bit more relaxed, I think. But it's just been interesting to see what before we would just not tolerate to now, yeah. Oh, that was cute. And just really having a chance to just be in a setting where you say, oh, yeah, that, you know, that's really helping us to be more humanistic of it. And not that, you know, oh, you're at work and, you know, these are some of the behaviors that we were expecting to see. Now it's just kind of meshed up into so many different things. So, you know, there's a little bit of the pro with that. I, as an extrovert, had to really get to know my introvert. So that's been fun. It's been good to see how we got along. I didn't think we were going to get along, but we do.
Getting along with your inner introvert.
My inner introvert, you know, I used to always be on the go, 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 and, you know, hardly ever at home, and getting reacquainted with home and actually doing things. It's like, oh, I've got time to do this now. So those are some of the pros. And then, of course, I really do miss that energy and just seeing people. So, like I said, it's got the pros and cons to both.
There's constant reminder there now that team members are people too. And so that's, you know, that's important for us. Sometimes we get a bit distracted in our single pursuit of getting to the deadline on time and on budget. When thinking about this, what to start, I've got to share with you that my business has gone 100% remote for the entire last 2 years. And that's the same with a lot of people out there. But just before Christmas, I had the opportunity to do a 2-day in-person workshop for a client. And it was strange. But after that assignment, on the way home, I was completely overwhelmed with this feeling of how much more superior it is to be a leader in person than it is remotely. I mean, most of us have adapted and we found a way to lead our teams online. I did a big ERP upgrade during that time with a large team. So, you know, definitely we can get things done. And, you know, there are some things we left behind in the office that were time wasters, like those bad meetings that we were invited to, or sometimes we organized as well. So, you know, maybe it's good that we left those behind. But all of the tools that we have at our disposal, especially for experienced project managers, when we're in person, facilitating, leading a group, there's just no comparison for the effectiveness of communicating and engaging with a group in person. We've got our voice, body language, conversations, interpersonal skills, motivating, demonstrating, example setting, trust building. I mean, I really miss that. I realized how much. I really miss the richness of the in-person experience. You know, sure, I can lead a team remotely. I've done that. I can also cook a meal on a camp stove, but I'm not trying to use it for Thanksgiving dinner. I went out and I thought, you know, is this just me thinking this? So I went out looking around to find out if there was anyone else who's thinking the same way. And I found something that might be worth looking at there. That's David Grossman's Leader Communicator blog. And there he has a piece on face-to-face communications, 6 reasons why it's better to lead in person. And he just touches on a number of the same things, authenticity and creating a team bond and trust building. Those are all things that, you know, we've got the skills. So my start is when it's safe to do so. And it's my challenge too to you out there as experienced PMs. Let's get back to maximizing our leadership skills in person.
Oh, absolutely. I think it'll be very interesting to see how those first couple of face-to-face meetings are going to be. And I think they're going to be much of what you've experienced, the just kind of getting back into the swing of things.
Well, it's going to be rocky. Like, we're not going to flip the switch and say, okay, now it's safe to go back to the office. And now let's flip the switch and we go back and it's like we just went through the time machine back to the start of 2020. It's going to be, you know, 2 years. That's 2 years ago. It's going to be a serious transition. And some people are not going to like it. And, you know, there's aspects I'm not going to like. So it's going to be a serious organizational change in all organizations, I believe.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, and even just the pandemic itself, you know, we are hearing lots of talks that, you know, this is here to stay in some form where it may be the new flu, so, you know, what does that look like? And I think that's where that hybrid fits in, where people will be able to work from home a lot more than they ever did.
So sometimes when we hit these challenges in our personal and professional lives, we also realize what is constantly true. So I wanted to ask you, what's been revealed to you during these troubled last 2 years as to what this was true, it is true, and it always will be true?
That's a very good question. I think at the end of the day, speaking in a project management perspective, is that project managers are really there to ensure that they understand their stakeholders, they're managing their stakeholders. And I think everybody now has sort of been put on this even platform, I want to say, in the sense that we're all working hard with what is happening around us. And some people have it harder than others. But I think everybody is really trying to stay true to ensuring that the stakeholders are being looked after, that the project is delivered, and that we're doing it the best way that we possibly can. And again, being agile and nimble enough in order to, when the change or something happens with the project, that we're able to really, you know, be resilient and jump into different ways of making sure that it is delivered as successfully as possible.
Yeah, I hear you saying that it's really important and it's always been important and it'll continue to be important to stay close to your stakeholders, really understand them and be flexible to their needs in getting to success.
Yeah, and I think it's really important, you know, when you say being true, you know, you really have to start with yourself. You have to be true to yourself. And by that, what I mean is, you know, it's that self-care component. You know, I know that mental health gets presented, especially in situations like we've been in the last 2 years. But it starts with that self-care. So how we talk about, projects being sustainable and resilient, I think it starts with us as well, first on how us as individuals, how do we become resilient to this or working to become resilient? And that takes that, you know, that's that self-care. What are we doing? How are we taking care of ourselves? Like, we have opportunities to maybe go for a walk at lunchtime. We have opportunities to, you know, cook lunch at home. What are some of those things that really sort of relaxes and resonates with you to say, okay, I'm okay that this way, you know, how do I become present with my family? How do I show up for work? How do I, and I think that is really important. And one of those things that I think we really do have to be aware and mindful to what is true and what do we have to be true to, right?
Yeah, you have to look after yourself before you can help others, right? And that's true in a leadership capacity as well, right? And it's really, there's been a bright light shone on that through this COVID time, that it's really important for you to be recharging in order for you to have the personal bandwidth to be able to lead others. When I thought about this, like what has been proved to be true for me, it had to do with networking. So, you know, I think there's some overlap with what you were talking about there, Candida. As a project manager, like throughout my career, I've realized that you can often feel like you're on an island. You may be the leader of that island, but you're still on an island. I've also realized that despite our methodology and our organized mathematical disciplines that we're involved in, that project management is a social exercise. I mean, you're getting a group of people to band together to reach some kind of common goal. And once you get beyond the basics, the basic technical methods of PM, schedules and budgets and change control and the like, your project and your career success are going to depend on making connections inside your company with stakeholders, with other PMs, and across industry. And, you know, having a close tie here and experience with PMI Southern Alberta chapter and seeing other professional associations, networking and networking activities have been absolutely crushed by COVID. You know, I think it's taken out a lot of professional associations completely. And to continue to be successful in the future, I think that as PMs, we need to make sure that we can build and maintain networks. And there, you know, if you want more on this, there's a lot of testimonials out there. An example is Janet Colazzo from Forbes Business Council, and she writes about the importance of networking for project management. And we'll make a link available to that as well. That's a good fortifying story to that point. PMI Southern Alberta chapter is an accomplished chapter, and a big important component of PMI Southern Alberta chapter over the last 15 years has been supporting networking. So, you know, this flows right into what is PMI Southern Alberta chapter planning to do and providing for project managers. Just as background, for those of you who aren't really familiar, PMI SAC is the third largest chapter in Canada. It was North America's chapter of the year in 2013. It has a track record of excellent programs for members, volunteers, sponsors, and thought leaders. But over the last 5 years, for sure, there's been no shortage of challenges. We've had this massive local economic downturn, lots of members struggling with their careers. And then we've got COVID now threatening all professional associations. And yet PMI SAC remains positive and plays a really constructive role in the project management community. You've been a PMI SAC volunteer in almost every possible role, Candida, over the last 16 years. And you've had board responsibilities for volunteer management and marketing, like we mentioned at the outset. And now you're in year three as president. Can you share with us, where is PMI SAC going this year, and how are you planning to support members and the community in 2022?
You know, thank you, Neil. Like, you're so dead on. This chapter has been, we've just seen everything. We're going to be 42 years old on April 18th. It's been around for 42 years. So like myself, that's been around for so long. You know, we remember like the people before us that have really put this chapter in place. And we have seen it all. And as you've mentioned, yes, I've been around for a long time. And I've seen it. I've seen when, you know, we were in the boom, like we didn't even have enough sponsors, like that sponsors just, you know, were coming in left and right. And we, you know, we had our dinners were always full. Like we used to reach over 100 to 150 people for our dinners. And Neil, you were part of that as well, so I think you can attest to this. And we really, you know, were able to just put so many things together, and it was vibrant and absolutely the third largest chapter within Canada. So it was really, you know, something that I was so excited to be part of. And then, of course, you know, we started to feel it when the oil and gas industry, you know, all that happened. And we had to already start to pivot a bit with that. And then, of course, COVID really, really, you know, hit us. And our members, they were expecting, you know, the value, the level of value that they were expecting from us was that face-to-face, that networking, seeing their peers, talking about what's working with your projects, what have any advice, and having that face-to-face. And for us to have to go 360-degree virtual was difficult, right? And, you know, and of course, members started to lose their jobs, and or they had to change, or sponsors, you know, all of a sudden, you know, the assets that we call them that we were able to provide, we had to change, and for some it didn't fit. So we really had to do a lot of, you know, restructuring and rethink our business. And we did it. And, you know, we've turned our challenges to opportunities. How's that? And we're really excited. We just finished our strategy planning session. And we are really looking forward into providing services and value to our members and community of practice in a hybrid world. So we're still going to continue with having, you know, two or so sessions a month. You know, we're probably going to miss the month where we do a lot of marketing for our professional development conference. So we will have that as well. And I think it's going to be bigger and better because we are looking at doing it in a hybrid format. You know, again, today we had just an amazing lunch and learn, and we really talked about multi-generational, you know, what it looks like in a hybrid world. And, you know, Giselle, she was just absolutely fantastic. So we're really bringing a lot of content that's valuable and where project managers can really resonate and how they can use some of these nuggets to do their job. So we will have that. We are thinking about bringing our golf tournament back. That's been missed. Our sponsors love it. Our members love it. So we are looking at bringing that back. But I think you're going to start to see also there's going to be more connection with our community of practice. We're going to be doing more of, you know, recognition and getting that networking out. You know, we're going to have volunteer recognitions on a quarterly basis or so, have our volunteer annual recognition event, and, you know, really making sure that we can connect and we can provide a lot of service in so many different areas. And then, of course, when it comes to really delivering for our members, especially and PMPs that are looking for those PDUs, their professional development units. We have a PMP exam prep course. We became an authorized training provider. So you'll be seeing us being able to deliver different courses, whether it's PMP, whether it's Discipline Agile, and so on in that whole world. We're going to be, providing more workshops. And we've got one now that's out, and it's a negotiation workshop. I took it last year and just loved it. So we really are, rolling up our sleeves and just really getting out there and making sure that we're getting involved as well as, getting our members all pumped up to what we're going to do for 2022.
Wow, that's a lot of things there. I know that you've got an all-star board that's helping you. That's fantastic. And they're ambitious to, sounds like, bring a lot more member services and focus on connections and strengthening the community.
Oh, absolutely. And, and this is the other thing to all this is providing that two-way feedback. So we are also going to be connecting with our members, and whether it's a survey, we will be doing one big survey. We will be doing monthly welcome and renewal communications to our members. We're going to build that membership benefits as to everything that I've just mentioned and more that we can provide, and just really having that membership recognition. I think it's extremely important that, we really do recognize our members. I know last year with the events that we put on, is we did see quite a few members that really joined almost all. We had a group that were always at every event that we put in. So we really do have a great group and response. One of our biggest communication tools that we have a lot of response from is our newsletter. Our newsletter is one of our top communication sort of feedback that we get. And I know we've really vamped that up, and we're looking to do the same for our website. So stay tuned. There's so many great things, and you're absolutely right. Like this year, we just have such an amazing board. I'm so lucky, and just the rest of the volunteers and committee, everybody really is just, they're raring to go. The seatbelts have been fastened.
That's great. And when we were getting ready for this, when you and I were talking a couple of days ago, you mentioned that fun was going to be a real focal point again this year. And I always tell everyone that I meet that's new to project management here in Calgary that a good way to grow their network and to get involved in the community is to go to some of these PMI Southern Alberta chapter events and get involved with the chapter. It's a great bunch. The events are fun. People are welcoming. And it's just an excellent community.
It definitely is. And as you can see, I just do not get out. It's every time you try and get out, it's just so exciting. It's so rewarding. It's also part of that giving back as well. This community, this industry has been so good to me that I just really do want to give back. And I think to your earlier point too, Neil, it's really about how much we also learn from each other. And every day we learn something new. So it really is that holistic sort of circle where giving back, also you get something back as well.
Well, it sounds like you've got, you and your board have an exciting 2022 ahead planned for us. And, as we look to our own responsibilities and ambitions as project managers, I know that we're all going to have a real change, a real year of change, just in the same way that the last two. Hopefully it will be one that's very positive for everyone. And as project managers, we're equipped, we're trained, and it's up to us to lead the world through these changes. Candida, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you so much, Neil. It was a pleasure being here. And all of you that really want to get more involved, or if you have any questions or want to learn more about PMI Southern Alberta Chapter, please visit our website. It's pmisac.com. It's just a wealth of information. You can see all our events. Please get involved, become members. We have so much that we can offer. And yeah, take a look at the board and you get to see who's who. And there's also emails there that you can contact us. So please feel free to reach out, and we'd love to see you at everything that we have going on.
Okay, that is it for this episode of Frontiers of Project Management. For those of you who are eligible for PDUs, the instructions for claiming PDUs for this event will be available on the PMI SAC website. Thanks again, and join us again next time.